Hi, do you like the slide that we have up there? He reigns. That is the theme for Easter Sunday, our Easter weekend. That's our theme for that week. But I want to tell you a little bit about that picture. I actually took that picture at Malalu Beach. The original picture actually didn't have that gold cross there, but it was actually a dark cross. And it was actually on Good Friday, that Easter weekend, I took a picture in 2018. So I thought, as we enter into in this year, what we're doing, that He reigns, God reigns forever. Amen? So yeah, so I thought, I know it feels like, oh, just another picture from, probably from, what do you call it? Images on Google or something, Canva or whichever. No. It's taken. I wish I could show you. If you don't believe me, come look for me. I will show you the cross. And it really, really humbled me and amazed me. Good afternoon, everyone. How are we going? Good? You're awesome. You're pretty great. That's great. Just wanna say that the few of us just came back from a board retreat. I'm not supposed to be preaching today. As you all know, that actually Jason Lesser from Destiny Rescue was actually meant to be preaching today. And then he texted me last night when I was with the board having dinner. And he actually said that, I'm so sorry, I have never done this before, but I'm pretty sick, so I can't preach. And so you know how scary that is? To actually go like, oh my goodness, someone has to preach. And who's the pastor? Oops. I can't call anyone. But I think the board probably saw, I was pretty calm, wasn't I? I like to think so. Probably my face looked all right, but my underneath, like my feet were like fluttering like crazy under the waters. But anyway, God is good. God is great. And He is beautiful. He is wonderful. And that's why we're here. Hey, by God's grace, there is a message. And there'll always be a message because God is always speaking to us. But before I go on, I just want to acknowledge the people who came for the board, the board of people who came. I want to thank their families. I wish they were here, but some of them have already gone for, Anna's here. Is Ditsa here, Josh? She is. She's putting Alethea. Ellie's not here either. She's there. Why are you at the back, not sitting next to your husband? Anyway, Ev, where's Ev? Ev, that's beautiful. You know, I just want to honor you guys. It's not easy. Oh, did you hear that? Shall I broadcast to the whole church? She likes her. Nah, it's okay. Her husband. I like that she didn't dig a deeper hole. I just want to honor you guys. Honor the families, Doug, even like for releasing them this weekend. It has been a beautiful weekend. I only can honor God and glorify God in that space. Because everything that we did, everything that was planned, everything, I don't know whether you heard John's sharing a little bit. I made everyone cry, apparently. I didn't. They made me cry too, so there you go. It was not just me making, but Holy Spirit did such a great work and a mighty work. And I want you all to understand that they're bored people that God has picked for a season, but really, we are family. They are family. We're all one. And we all love each other, and we're all looking out for each other. And we most of all, we want to look to God, what God is doing. That is what we're doing, and that's what we've been praying for, and Holy Spirit just really had His way. And the other thing I want to actually acknowledge, thank you, worship team. You guys were amazing. I really want to honor the worship team. They did such a great job with leading us and pointing us to Jesus. Thank you. But today is a bit of a different day. Today it marks a significant moment for our church. Because just last week, Pastor Richard was here with us. And now that we're stepping into a new season, I don't know about you, but I miss him. I'm sure you all miss him too. And we don't want to forget that because he is that dear to us. Yeah? And his presence will be deeply missed. He's not gone, he's coming back. But Pastor Richard has faithfully led this church in prayer, wisdom, and love. So we honor his leadership and the foundation that he has laid. Amen? But as we move forward, we must ask ourselves, what kind of church does God want us to be in this next season? What kind of church is that? Probably we never ask this question. We just go on and say, hey, new pastor, yeah, I know Rena. Yeah, okay, she's all right. But really, it's not about me. It's about Jesus, what he wants to do in this church. Yeah? And he says, what kind of church does God want us to be? Not what we want to be, but God wants us to be in this season. What is he calling us, all of us, to build together? Amen? Yeah, are we excited? Sorry, I probably look serious and sound serious. But by God's grace, we're here, okay? So I believe, my friends, that the answer is found in what Jesus desires most for his church, to be a people rooted in prayer and in unity. If you were here last week, you would have remembered my sermon, and I talked about a new season, a new chapter for all of us, whereby we are a church that is deeply rooted in prayer and in unity. Amen? Did you all remember that? Who were here last week? Okay, most of you were here last week. And if you remember last week, or this is a test, okay, who went home last week and actually woke up at 5 a.m. to pray? One. Anyone else? Only one? It's okay. No condemnation. It's okay. One is better than none, correct? But this is an invitation. This is not, hey, you gotta like forcing you to do this. The reason why we're inviting you to prayer because you'll be amazed what God can do. That's what I can say. You'll be amazed. Yeah? So the same Spirit that led us before here at First Light is leading us now. The same Spirit, same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within us. So that same Holy Spirit that led us here at First Light Church is also still leading us now. Yes? And as we seek God together, we will continue to move powerfully. He will move powerfully among us. Oh, I put here, share briefly about the board retreat. I already did. Okay. But I just want you to know that Jesus desires that. I have completely missed this. Where is Tegan? Oh, there she is. Come. Come on, quick. Move. Oh, hold on. I've asked Tegan. Sorry, she's ready to sing. She's ready to sing. I've asked Tegan to read our Bible reading for today.
Today's Bible reading is from Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Next is John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23, Jesus' prayer for unity, that they may be one as we are one. Matthew chapter 21. Next is Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to be the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen. Amen. So God's desire is to build a house of prayer and a family that is united in love. And how can we do that is by going back to basics. Pretty much, going back to basics. Did what the apostle did. And how did he do that? So after Jesus ascended, my first point is the early church was built on prayer. So after Jesus ascended, the disciples' first response was to pray together constantly. Yeah? And this is what the Lord put on my heart, that coming into this new season, and we know Pastor Richard has is on his leave, on his long service leave, and he said, now we need to come together to really pray and constantly seek God's heart. It's like Jesus has left, not say Pastor Richard is Jesus, but Jesus has left, has ascended, and now he's calling us to pray. So there is a call. There is a God's heart and desires to for us to pray. And if you look at Acts 2, 42-47, it says the early church devoted themselves to prayer. And as a result of that, but before we look at the results, I just want you to look at that word devoted. The early church devoted themselves means steadfast, means commitment, means persistent. They didn't give up. I can imagine they loved Jesus, they saw Jesus, and they go like, we've been following him, we've been seeing the miracles that he had done, and then what? He's gone? But then Jesus left a message and said, hey, you need to come and pray. We need to come and pray constantly. We need to come together. And so the people came. They didn't give up. They came daily, constantly prayed. And the result of that, because of their prayer, doors were open. Miracles were happening. Signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. And not only that, you know what also happened? When they came together, they really loved and cared for one another. And how that showed is actually they sold their properties and their possessions and to give to the ones who need. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but every time I feel like when a church does the book of Acts, as in the expository preaching, and when it comes to this, I feel like we just skim through very, very quickly. And, we would say that, can I ask you, who would actually sell your possessions and sell your property to actually help one another here in the church? Do you know if all of us do that, we'll be equally rich? We'll be very equal. And we actually care for one another, but that's not what God is saying here, I believe, and here for us. I believe it's actually, we can show love in the most practical ways. Not just talk, but action. And they met daily, so they didn't just meet on Sundays. Sometimes I believe that it's even hard for us to come on a Sunday. Sunday afternoon, some more. Hello. Now that you know church doesn't happen on Sunday mornings, we know we come in the afternoon. Hey, you go out, you spend time, you go out and meet people, meet friends. By the time afternoon comes, I want to fall asleep. I don't want to be here. Why do I have to be here? Can I have a cup of coffee? And then, hey, maybe we need a coffee ministry. Don't you think, guys, we need a coffee ministry? Do I say amen? Yeah, okay, cool. We need a coffee ministry. Who can make good coffee around here? One. Michelle not putting up her hands, I don't know why. But anyway, but You know, we're tired. We feel not motivated. And one of the things that my heart, that I feel God saying is that I want this church to come back and experience the real joy of what it means to actually be in church again. To actually have that joy, to laugh with one another, to actually say, hey, I'm looking forward to come to church because you know what? I'm going to meet my brother. I'm going to meet my sister. I'm going to show some love to some people in this church. I'm going to encourage somebody. I've got a word for somebody because you know why? You've been praying in the week and you said, I've got a word for Matt. I've got a word for Zenly. You know, something like that. You're just excited. And, you know, you come in and say, I want to worship. Please don't come and say, hey, that person's not singing right. Oh, that sounded and sound right. Or whatever, forget it. I pray that your ears will be tuned in to what God is actually doing. And say, here, I am here to come. I want to worship my God. I want to come to see and encourage one another in the Lord. One time we can come. It's not even asking daily, but these people went daily. Daily they came to church. My goodness. Man, I can imagine. I'll say, oh my God, I have to pay for my petrol. I have to come here. I have no time. My God, I need to eat. They didn't complain. They came together. They sold their possessions. What they did together was they broke bread. And when they came together daily, they broke bread and the Lord added to their numbers who were being saved. How beautiful is that? God is wanting to shift our minds. He's wanting to change something in the way we're thinking about church, about how we're going to be a blessing. Why when we come together, when we shout out the praises of God, my friends, the next generation will catch it. So the next generation, like, where are they? They're gone. Where's Tegan and EJ and all of them? I thought they were going to be in here. They've been sick serving. Hey, hallelujah. But you know what, my friends? If you start shouting the praises of God, you start testifying God's goodness and greatness, you will see how the young people will go like, whoa, what's that? What is my parents saying? What is that uncle saying? What is that auntie saying? I want to know about this God. I want to believe in this God because this God is real. He's alive and I want him to be alive in me. That's the kind of God that we want our children to be raised and to actually see, hey, there is this true God. It's not just my mom and father's faith. It's actually now my faith. Yeah? Every move of God starts with prayer. Mission. Any mission work starts with prayer. Any revival starts with prayer. Anything in our lives that we want to start starts with prayer. If you agree, say amen. So if we want to see God move, that's something that we need to say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I repent, Father God, that I didn't see this before. But open my eyes to see clearly. Open my eyes to see how I can come to you. What have I not been doing, Father God, that I can seek you and say, Lord, how am I to be in unity with my sister? How am I to be in unity with my brother? How am I to look at this person? And God, I want to do something, Lord, but I'm inviting you in this place. Most of the time we separate God at work. When we're at work, we're at work. But God cannot come in that space. But in everything that we do, because we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, we say we are the children of God. So that means wherever you go, whether you're studying, whether you go into a workplace, whether you're going to meet somebody, I don't know, but I had a wonderful time at the board. And one of the things they show we have learned about each other is that we talked about what our values were, what makes us stress and everything else. And my dear brother here doesn't like hugs, but I like hugs. I do. I love hugs. And so they said, if you're stressed, Rena, what do you want me? What would you like? What would you like me to do for you? And I said, don't tell me you're going to be burnt out. You're doing too much. And I said, don't tell me that. Just give me a hug or be quiet. Don't say anything. You're working too hard. No, don't tell me that. Just hug me. Hold me. So anyway. We had a situation. And my dear brother put into practice. Why am I telling this story? I have no idea. But it's a joy of being in a family. But it's a joy of putting the other person first, because we are operating from a place of the overflow of God's love for us. Yeah, that's what we're doing. And that what brings us to the second point, which is Jesus prayed for our unity. We looked at John 17, 20 to 23. And the scripture says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3, actually says that, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I'm going to say that again. I want you to hear this clearly. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So what is God saying here? He's calling us to dwell together, not to be separated, not to look at each other like, "Oh, I speak to you this week and I forget you next week." Yeah? It's to really look out for each other. So verse 2 says, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Wow. He called us to dwell in unity. Because disunity weakens the church. But prayer brings us together. So when we seek God, we lay down our preference and basically we surrender to His will. Amen? One of the things that I said last week about, I didn't mention here, about we are a church to seek His presence. And Kaylee mentioned it just now in her worship, that I said that we need to be a church that actually seek His presence, that know His presence. And why is that important? Can anyone tell me? Why is that important? This is not a rhetorical question. I really want someone to answer. Why is that important that we seek His presence? So we can know His will. Thank you, Stephen. Anyone else? Why is it important that we know His presence? Shout it out if you're excited. Why is it important? I don't have an answer up there. Why is it important that we see, as a church, we seek His presence? Stephen said it so that we know His will, and also so that we're not outside His will. That we know His purpose and His call on our lives. It is important. And that's not only here as a church, but individually. What does it look like for you to know His presence and to seek His presence daily? We don't have to come to church here First Light every day to meet, but how do you meet with your God, with my daddy, with your daddy every day? How does it look like for you to seek His presence? Because in His presence, there is clarity. In His presence, there is healing. In His presence, there is joy. That is who God is, in that presence. And if you don't know how to enter into His presence, come learn, come ask. Please ask, don't just keep quiet. And if you're stuck, hey, please show me. Go to Sarah, go to Kelvin, go to someone and just ask, go to Josh, Ditsa, ask, how is it to enter into the presence of God? I want to know. Because we're called to live supernaturally, not, we're called to live supernaturally naturally. Does that make sense? Do you know that? We are supernatural. We live in the supernatural lifeline of God. That's how I see it. But you know what? But we're called to live naturally, but how do we bring the supernatural in our workspace, in our home life, in our friends, in the people that we know? How do we do it? Time to switch and say, how, God, tell me. Teach me, because if you are going through stuff, if you are struggling in stuff, sometimes you stay there for a long time if you don't know how to seek God, if you don't know how to come that breakthrough. And if you haven't got that breakthrough, call someone to come with you. Don't stay there a long time. Don't stay alone. Yeah? Can we do that? So the third point is that a praying, united church releases God's power. In Acts 4:31, it says, after the church prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Matthew 18:19-20 says that when we agree in prayer, God moves powerfully. You know, when we have an agreement, it takes two people, right? At least two people to make an agreement, correct? Either between you and God or you and someone else, correct? Or you and few other people to make an agreement. So that agreement, so the power of agreement in prayer causes unity, brings unity, calls God's presence in. That's what He's doing. So Jesus is showing us that when believers come together, when we come together in unity and pray, God actually moves. Yeah? And this aligns in Acts 2:42-47, when the early church experienced miracles because they were united in prayer. Yeah? And in God's presence in a praying church. So what happens when you come together, when you agree with God, when you see the power of God, it's because when we are a praying church. Jesus promises that whenever we gather in His name, He is there. So my friends, we are gathering in His name right now? Yes? Tick? Yes, it's a tick? Okay, cool. That means when we're gathered in His name, that means He is here? Yeah? Now, just for a few seconds, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Know that He is here. Just know that He is here. A church that prays together is a church where God's presence dwells. And the power of corporate prayer brings breakthrough, revival, and transformation. You can open your eyes. When we were at the board meeting, which normally never happened before, where we come and pray and worship fully, but I have to give honor to God for what He had done. Holy Spirit just had His way in each and every one of us. I want to invite Josh to come up here, please. Thank you. And I think he needs to share. Oh, he's written things down. Whoa. This is very effective. I believe we need more people to come up here and share and testify of God's goodness, not just me alone. It's not just me that experience God's love and mercy and grace every day. each and every one of you have a story. And we want, the more we proclaim, the more we testify of God's goodness. And you will see, it will spread. Let the Lord, the Holy Spirit will just do the work. You will see how people come running in and they say, I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about. Josh, hi. Yeah, his heart rate went very high when we asked him to speak that. Anyway, why don't you share what God has done for you?
Just to preface this, this morning, Pastor Rena goes, oh, I might get you to come up. About what? Oh, you'll know. But my brother Sang said, oh, maybe you'll prepare something. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So we had the board retreat over the weekend, and I came to the board retreat knowing that there's an agenda and there's items that we need to address as a board, and I knew that we would fellowship, we'd learn about each other a bit, so that we can work together and complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. But I didn't expect the Spirit to show up in the way that it did. For those of you who know me, I'm a very cerebral sort of person. Cognitively, I'm very rigid in how I think. Things have to fit into boxes, and I need to know what are the inclusion criteria, what are the exclusion criteria. So when Rena says, just share, I'm like, too broad. But there's a box labeled Board of First Light Church, and in that box, I don't necessarily put spiritual leadership in there. That's a box for elders, for pastoral team. So even though my brain knew that there would be some praying and there would be some worshipping, I'd compartmentalized and limited God showing up for me in that space. But over the last 48 hours, the Holy Spirit shown up in a way that's given me breakthroughs in my personal life. When we were praying on Friday night, Pastor Rena kept asking me, what is God saying to you? What is God showing you? And my mind was just blank. I didn't have an answer. But my brothers and sisters gave me the space to see myself next to God on his heavenly throne in my own time. And even though I was trying to find the right answer, reverting to the how and the what, God was saying, not you, stop trying, let me. And I haven't been in that place for 10 years. That night, God's word for me was that I'm enough and I don't have to achieve any more for him to love me more or for me to feel more validated by my parents, my friends, my wife, my children, my colleagues. And I can see that that was a stronghold that had cornered me in the way that I thought for a long time. I'm always thinking, what's my next achievement? What do I have to accomplish next? And knowing that the Almighty King is pleased with me as I am has freed me up to then say, God, you show me how you're going to use me. You give me the words. You do it, not me. I just need to obey and listen, but the how will come when I look to you, God. And I know that if God can do this for me, the rigid, cognitive, cerebral person, he can do it for all of us. So I'm excited and praying that we can all have those encounters with him.
I like hugs. What do you think, guys? This is the beginning. God's going to do more. But if you welcome him and you open your heart and you see what he's going to do, more testimony is going to come. Because this is what we need to hear. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. 10 years, my friends. 10 years. Can we give God all the glory and praise? Come on, give him all the praise, all the glory. This is our God. He's been waiting. He wants to set us free. And one of the things that he wants us to go through is healing. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to heal our minds. He wants to reconcile things. He wants to restore relationships. He wants you to be so free. He wants you to walk in that freedom, in that joy. And my friends, when you encounter God, when you hear the truth, when you see the truth, and when you know the truth, it sets you free. You are no longer held in bondage. That stronghold that has been holding you, and I encourage my brother, I said, every time it comes, you take that thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, and any tongue that wants to rise up against you, you shall condemn. Nothing. Don't let the enemy come. Last week, we learned about God's provision. He said, give us. And then we learned about his grace, about him. Forgive us and forgive others. And then the last bit, we learned about how he's leading us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. He has given us a beautiful way of how to live our lives. And the house of prayer. The Lord's Prayer teaches us how to live, to put him first, always. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To always put him first. And when we really, really put him first, when we actually enter into his presence and go, wow, Daddy God, you've got this for me, you've got that for me. And I want to set you free from that pain. I want to set you free from what those person have spoken over you. I want to break that off you so you know what? You can be available and be free to help other people out there. Because my friends, we are so privileged that we know the word of God. We are so privileged that we can be in this place. But there are friends out there, they don't come to church on Sunday. You are their Sunday for them. You are their Jesus for them. You are their grace, that you're going to show God's grace and truth. Grace and truth is Jesus Christ himself. You know what? So that's where you need to show them, to say that, hey, my friends, if you are suffering, you're going through a divorce, you are going through some pain, you are going through whatever, and you say, hey, I can pray for you. I can be with you. I will be there with you because my God is alive. My God can save you. My God can heal you. This is who my God is. How are you guys feeling? We're going to close soon. How are you guys feeling? Yeah? What's the temperature? Cold? Hot? Where are we? Cold? Hot? Cold? Or hot? Just not lukewarm, okay? Please? Don't be. Sorry, I just remembered your joke. We are a church that are called to pray and called to be in unity. I'd like to ask, and I need to put it out there, one of the things in our church that we are really in need of and that we can grow into is to actually help our young people. We're really, really in need for our youth to grow. And this is one thing we always talk about, because one of the prophecy that has been spoken over our church is that we're going to have a thriving youth ministry and a thriving children's ministry. But you know, as anyone would know, that maybe you all know, maybe you all do not know, I'm not sure, but I want to put it out there. Can we come together and pray for our young people? How we can put our hands together and really love our young people? Because I don't know about you, if we don't invest in our young people, if we don't pray and spend time and disciple them, my friends, after high school, you won't see them coming back. Normally, that's the Barnabas. There is a research, Barna Group or something like that, did a research and found that a lot of young people are walking away from church because church is no longer real for them. They're not interested. They either just find it hard to believe in God, and they struggle with that. But I'm asking, as your new senior pastor, how can we put our hands together? Number one, to pray. Number two, if God has put something on your heart to help our young people, how we can grow this ministry, come, please speak to me. or Pastor Jeremy or any of the board members. We want to build. We want to see our church really, really, really know Jesus Christ. And it starts with our young people. Can I have the worship team up there, please? Thank you.